Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 15, ending in verse 28, with a message entitled, "The Lord's Last Will and Testament, But He Shall Appear." More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15.
That He would be on that cross and He alone would bear our sins. No co-redemption. No co-redeemer. Mary didn't hang on the tree with Him. A prophet didn't hang on a tree with Him. His apostles did not. In fact, they all fled besides John. And even if he were to be a good companion and climb up on the tree next to Him and be pinned there, it would have done no good. Nobody could have aided Him in the process. He hung there alone. And the face of God was turned from His Son so that His face would never have to be turned from you and I. The full wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus. The transference of sins, for those of you who are theological and like it deep. But remember, the transference of sins is not just our sins being placed upon our atonement, Jesus, but His righteousness being given back to us. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we, in exchange, because we're in the will, might become the righteousness of God. You want to read about yourself, Revelation chapter 4. You're represented by the 24 elders, 12 tribes of Israel, Old Testament saints, 12 apostles, New Testament saints. They're before the throne of God, worshiping and singing that heaven song that Daniel just led us in before I came up to preach. And they are in white raiments with crowns of gold upon their head, and they're casting them at the feet of Jesus. That is your destiny, not because you're wonderful. That is your destiny, not because you've done everything right, you crossed your T's and you dodged your I's and you put your tithe in the back box and you read your Bible and you're a good citizen. It's none of that. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's because He paid a debt that He did not owe so that we can receive this favor. The penalty has been paid for. So I know like a few million dollars would be amazing to get a letter in the mail. Oh, you're going to benefit from Aunt Susie's, you know, monies. These are yours. These are her investments. These are her stocks. This is her estate. These are her car. That'd be pretty neat. But listen to what I'm telling you. These things are eternal, where moth and rust does not corrupt and destroy. These things can't be taken from you. Think about how a will goes down before I bring you to my closing point. How does a will go down? It's nasty. I've had people come in for counseling. The person passed from the scene. This kid here gets 25%, this one gets 40%, it's uneven. Now all of a sudden there's this fight over it, family feud over what's supposed to be a blessing. He didn't even like you. How did you get that much? You never even helped around the house. You never did anything. How did you get that much? And people get nasty when it comes to materialistic possessions. And the testator, the one who died, isn't there to straighten it out. They're gone. So now it's a lawyer to mediate. If he was there, or she was there, he could say, hang on a minute, hang on. I want this one to have the car. I want this one to have this. I want this one to have the boat. This one to have the house. These are my reasons why. But without them there, nobody really knows. All they have is what's in writing. But what makes this different is that our testator got up from the grave to make sure that everything was just the way that he wanted it to be in his will. He is at the right hand of the Father right now, supervising, superintending, making sure that everything goes as He sees fit, as we are in the end of the age of grace. The power of sin is broken. The penalty of sin, for sin, all your sin, past, present, future, has been paid for. And there's one even greater thing that we close with this morning, and it's in verse 28. It says this, as it's appointed in verse 27, unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look, but it's not just look like I'm kind of looking, it's not just look like you look when you, maybe you put your head down to read a scripture, like what's it going to say next here, another blood thing? It's not that. It's look expectantly, that's the language here. for those who look for the Lord expectantly, it says this, he shall appear. There's our third and final usage of appear here, some variation of the word appear. He's going to appear futuristically the second time without sin unto salvation. Somebody dies, oh, you know, in the culture, no matter who they are, no matter what they did, oh, we'll see him again. This is not goodbye. It's I'll see you later. Even if, like, our animals pass, people get real emotional. You know, I'm going to see him again. I know that they're in doggy heaven or whatever it would be. There's these terms, ideas that are just real lightly, loosely thrown around. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ did these things so that you can be insured all of these hopes and eternal inheritances on this side of eternity, but on top of it all, not just his appearing now or his appearing then, but he's going to appear, and he already dealt with the power of sin, he already dealt with the penalty of sin, but there's a day coming, and it's soon, the writer says, where we believe this because the Bible teaches this, we will escape from the presence of sin. Any of you righteous, holy people, there's like, oh, I can't wait for that day. Like if you're here this morning and you are literally practicing the presence of God in the office, in the locker room, in the neighborhood, at the family party, at school, wherever you go during the week, if you're constantly trying to honor the Lord with your life and living like a prude in comparison to other people, you know that it's exhausting. It's exhausting to fight temptation. And by the way, if you're here and you're saying, I don't really deal with temptation, then you're dead. Charles Spurgeon said that only dead men don't wrestle. If you're wrestling with sin, that means you have a pulse. If you're not wrestling with sin, then you're dead. Someone needs to take you out of here. Everybody that has a pulse, I don't care how pious and religious they look, everybody is wrestling with something. And the kick is that it's all sort of similar. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There is nothing that any of us are struggling with that the next person can't understand a little bit of. We're all struggling with different things. And even though, listen to me, please, hang with me for the last 8 minutes. Even though positionally we are seated in heavenly places, dressed in white garments with crowns of gold, practically we're still being sanctified. So Jesus is still molding and shaping, potter and clay. Have that in your head all week. You're a lump of clay on the wheel. He's the potter. He's pulling lumps out. He's smoothing it out. He's shaping you into what he wants you to be. And that will happen till the day that you die. So in the process of that, those lumps are temptations. Those lumps at times speak of the sin that we do give into. Temptation that becomes sin. We don't say no. We just give it. We give into it. We let it take over, right? Those things are happening. And if you're serious about Jesus, it's exhausting. There's a part to the spiritual life. Listen, I didn't get this from a testimony book or one of the other guys or some commentary. I'm telling you, as somebody who's been walking with Jesus consistently now for half of my life, I'm telling you this, it's exhausting. Because I'm constantly kicking against the flow. I'm just speaking to myself. You don't have to agree with me. I'm telling you how I feel. It's exhausting. I get it when it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness and he was vexed. I'm vexed sometimes coming up here and telling you all about righteousness and holiness and judgment to come. Talking spiritual things. I'm a fleshly carnal man. I like things that you like. I'm stoked for the game today at 1 o'clock and the game at 4:15 and the game again at 8:15 and the Yankee game in between all that. I can't wait to eat a plate of pasta with 17 meatballs and a loaf of bread. I love the things, trucks and motorcycles and just normal stuff that you love too, and to be a preacher of righteousness because God's calls on my life. And to get up here and talk about, that's not even fighting temptation. It's just talking spiritual. It's exhausting. You going back to work, going back to school, going back to the neighborhood, going back to the family gathering, and being the only fish that's swimming against the current. It's exhausting, is it not? Living with yourself, the civil war within you. I don't do what I do want to do. I do what I don't want to do. And the battle that goes on within you. You feel schizophrenic sometimes, don't you? And there's a day coming for those who are looking expectantly for his appearance. But if you didn't avail yourself to his first coming, then you're not looking for his second coming. His first coming is where he dealt with the power of sin and the penalty of sin. His second coming isn't to do that. He already did it on the cross once. That work of redemption is over. Either you're a participant or you're not in receiving that. His second coming, and if you want to be literal, his appearing in the sky to those who are his, is the next thing on God's timeline at the end of the age of grace. And that is to take you, his sons, and you, his daughters, harpazo, to snatch you up, is the Greek word, in the blink of an eye, so that you can be gathered together with him and your loved ones that have preceded you and all of the saints of old in the air to be with him forevermore. And there's going to be no more lust. There's going to be no more pride. There's going to be no more politics by corrupt people. There's going to be no more sin. God is going to give back to us in glory his original design for creation. You catching this? Adam forfeited it. He's the federal head of all humanity. And don't hate on Adam, because if Adam didn't do it, it would have been his son. And if it got to you somehow miraculously, you or I definitely would have done it. And God has given back to humanity what Adam forfeited in the Garden of Eden, perfection and fellowship with him. And that's what we regard to be heaven. If you don't avail yourself to what he did in his first coming, you're not looking expectantly for his second coming. But he says he's going to appear for those who are looking. You know, even as I preach this, I feel the warfare. It's crazy. It's a forsaken doctrine. Because preachers doing a monologue, and I get it. I've been at it for 36 minutes. It feels very funny to start talking alone, doing a monologue about something that's never happened in human history. I know there's scoffers in here. I know there's mockers in here. But I'm going to tell you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you were prophesied of by Peter in the scripture. He said that in the last days, many would scoff and mock and say, oh, yeah, where's the Lord? Where's he been? I thought he was coming. But the Bible says 1,000 years is as a day. And a day is as 1,000 years. So he's been gone for little more than 2 days, if you want to be literal, number one. And number two, he's a gracious, long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish. So his delay, his tarry that we all have to wait for is because of you. He's waiting for you to come out of darkness and into the marvelous light. He's still gathering people. It's like Noah's Ark. He's still gathering everybody in before the judgment comes. You understand? But he is indeed coming. And if you're here and you're like, well, I don't think he is. That's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. You had me till you got to here. Why did I have you till I got to here? What's so wonderful about a God that stayed dead? First of all, I'm going to do this real fast. You got bigger problems than even that. You got now a God who stayed dead that's a liar. And the Bible says that in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin. Lying's a sin. Everybody knows that. You correct your kids. You did correct your kids. You will correct your kids very early for lying. Jesus claimed to be God. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a moral man. He wasn't just a prophet. If he was, he was a liar. And liar is not a good man. He's not a good teacher. He's not a moralist. He's not a prophet. He claimed to be God. Jesus said that after 3 days of his body being destructed, he would rise it again. He made some bold claims. If he was just a good teacher, if he was just a moral man, if he was just a prophet, you have a hole in your case. He's either a liar or he's a lunatic, if that's what you want to peg him to be, is not God, or one that stayed dead, because he said that he would rise again, and he said that he's going to prepare a place for us. And if it weren't so, he wouldn't have told us that, because he doesn't lie. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, he said, I will come. I'm not sending Michael. I'm not sending Gabriel. I'm not sending any of them guys. I'm not sending David of old or any of those other warriors in the faith. I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, because where I am is where I want you to be forevermore. You see. So even though it's never happened, I'm willing to live my life based on that it's going to happen, because Jesus has no reason. He's given me no reason to not believe in everything he says. A third of your Bible. I say this to you often because I want you to be good prophet students. Listen, a third of your holy book, in distinction to every other holy book out there, a third plus, I'd say, is prophetic in nature. And everything the Bible said would come to pass that's supposed to have come to pass thus far has come to pass. Just because you never seen the rapture and it sounds silly to you and beyond your wildest imaginations doesn't mean it isn't real. It means that you're lower than God. When you're sleeping, Do you ever see light? In your dreams, is there ever light? Your eyes are closed. It's dark in the room, but you see light, don't you? Because you don't need light to see light. When you're sleeping and you're having dreams, you ever hear noises, voices, people talking to you, dialogue, right? Conversation in your dreams. No one's speaking. You don't need sound to hear things. In your dreams, do you ever try to run? And you're just, even worse, you ever try to punch? And you want to smack them so bad, but you can't punch. There's this slow motion. There's this delay. You ever feel stressed in your dreams? You're alone. You're sleeping. You're in that deep sleep, man, but your heart, you wake up and your heart's racing because you were stressed by what you were dreaming, even though there was nothing really there to stress you out. Eternity, judgment to come, Jesus coming in the sky to meet us, his people in the air. That is the reality of Scripture. And it doesn't need you, it doesn't require you to get it, to understand it, to be able to explain it, for it to happen. It's gonna happen. He's coming again. Before he comes and touches down, he's coming in the clouds. With all of the saints of old, the people that love Jesus, that you love, that have gone before you, are gonna be with him. What a reunion it's gonna be. It's gonna happen in the twinkling of an eye. That's terrible grammar. It's even less than that. It's going to boom happen, and nothing has to precede it. Nothing. Only the last person that's going to get saved that God knows in his infinite knowledge and wisdom that's going to get saved has to get saved. It could happen in this church service. It could happen at Grace Road, at the Father's house, at Calvary Finger Lakes, at Northridge. It could happen in California at Harvest. It could happen at Saddleback Ranch. It could happen in a living room. It could happen in a cave in Africa. The person that you've been so worried about, wondering, well, why should I believe in a God when there's people in the cave in Africa? Well, they're going to get saved and you're still not saved. Now you got bigger problems. Because that last person, it's called the fullness of the Gentiles. They're going to come into the boat, if you would. And as soon as that door shuts, it's on. Bible says it. I don't really care if you think I'm crazy or lost my lid. It doesn't really matter. This is what the Bible says. And you got bigger issues than me to go up against if you don't embrace it. Jesus Christ said, here's my will, my testament for you. Power of sin's been broken because I am presently at the right hand of the Father. Not just sending the Holy Spirit like I've done since Pentecost, but also making intercession for you because you got an accuser that comes before the throne day and night saying stuff about you, talking trash, and it's true. So I'm at the right hand of the Father forever alive, so I can make intercession for you and advocate to the Father for you. Yeah, it's true, Father, but my blood was poured out. The price has been paid in full. They are forgiven of sin, signed, sealed, and delivered. It's done. Penalty's also been paid too, because he appeared, retroactive, he appeared on the cross, so the penalty's been dealt with too. Penalty and power, but there's a day coming, but it's only for those who are looking expectantly because they've availed themselves to his first coming. They're ready for a second one. In fact, I'd even say this. Some of you are here this morning saying this. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I used to think, I just want to get married first. I just want to have a few babies first. I just want to get a house first. That was the stupidest thing I ever wanted to do first. Crazy, the amount of housework. Those of you who want houses. I used to think all of these things because I just didn't know. You know, we marry people, then they think, I wish that Jesus would just come. They have kids, and they think, my kid's making my heart hurt so bad. My marriage counselors, they don't go here anymore, so I get this. They told my wife and I, they said, you want to avoid heartache? Don't have children. Kids will make your heart hurt. Then you pray after the Lord gives you the kids that you said, don't come, I want to have kids for. After they get a little older and they start wandering in the world, becoming prodigals, doing like the most of us have done. That's like, oh, Lord, please come. Get us out of here. We think, Lord, oh, I want to experience this and that. He says, hey, listen, those who are looking expectantly, Their eyes and their faces are in my word. My spirit's speaking to them. They're watching the news. They're watching the world around them. They get it. It's coming soon and very soon. He is going to appear. Those who are looking, those who are waiting, he's going to come and he's going to get you and he's going to snatch you out of this craziness. And you are forever going to be set free. Made just like he renewed, turned into metamorphosis. Mortality is going to put on immortality. Corruption is going to put on incorruption. And we're going to be given this ability, this body that's driven by spirit, not blood, where we can inhabit the heavens in the glory and see everything that God's always had and designed for us from eternity past, that Paul said it would be unlawful for me to even utter. Crazy, isn't it? Time caps us there, but that's crazy. What a last will and testament we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to invite the team up to lead us in a closing song. I hope that you were blessed and encouraged. It's wild. It's wild, wild stuff. And the craziest thing is people like myself and all the, we'll use them because they're making their way. All these crazy people that lead us in worship. All of us, there's no like, oh, well, you got to be this. You got to be, look at all of us. Just this, it's like when your mother takes all the food out from the fridge at the end of the week and you're just eating everything for dinner. Just here you go. Have a little of this, have a little of that. That's all that we are. That's all that we are. That's all that anybody is in Christ. There's no, you don't do something, you don't become something, you don't look a certain way. You just receive and believe. You're just in, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You just receive and believe. Don't have it be blotted out. Your name's written. Here you go. This is just for you. Not a covenant. You didn't cooperate. It's just been given to you because he likes you. He likes you because he likes you. Don't ask me why he likes you. I have no clue. I have no clue why he likes me or any of us. He likes us because he likes us. It's a Hebrew idiom that we take and we hold on to this morning and say, God, thank you for liking me. Thank you for giving these things to me. I am looking expectantly, and I can't wait to see you, like he said in the beginning, face to face. Amen. Father, I thank you for this time. What an encouraging portion of scriptures. Bless now this last time of worship. Let it bless you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.